December 15, 2023, it's the Walk from Pedro show.
So like when you study, like you see what these people say about good, you know, philosophers, when they start talking about good and bad, man, they take those two words and go so far with it, man. It could be a complicated thing.
Well, I think...
But it's got to be simple, I mean, really, to really, you know, get some good out of it, to really realize something, you got to make it simple. And I think religion, they pretty well, they've got it made if they can get together. Because I don't, when they say what they preach is good, I mean, it seems good to me.
Walk from Pedro show. Started off fucking set list. Here it is. Started off with John Coltrane talking to August Bloom about some stuff regarding good and bad. June 15th, 1958. Then from Supplemental Pills, Judgment Time. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me Brother Ezra. Welcome aboard again.
Hey, thanks.
Absolutely.
Thanks a lot for having me, man. I think this is like my third time on your show, and I love it. Yeah.
Now, since we last talked, it was sad stuff about your basement, Aaron.
Yeah, man, we were on your show, and then less than a week later, he was murdered in the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just so bad. How old was he?
He was 49. He was going to be 50 in January.
Man.
Yeah. Completely devastated, man.
Yeah, bass brother. Big love. Yeah.
Yeah, he loved you, man. You were his favorite.
Well, much respect. Most kind. Anyway, this probably had something to do with this. No, he's on these recordings, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's all over it, man. That's the last stuff that we were working on. We did a lot of stuff together in multiple bands, and that was the last one that he did.
Yeah. Well, tell me about this record here.
So that's it's Supplemental Pills.
From what I understand, like the other album was more like jams and improvise. This one, you wanted to write songs.
Yeah, this one, we had all the material kind of demoed. We'd never done that before. The previous album was our first one, and it was just built on instrumental jams, and then we later recorded, I recorded the vocals later, and that turned out that way. A lot of editing, like the way Miles Davis used to do it.
Right, on the corner.
Yeah.
I actually did a record like that with Sacred Trust, where you just jammed along, and then afterwards is where they found the songs.
Yeah, and that's what we did. I would just scour the computer the next day after recording it and just try to see what we could come up with, and then eventually said, okay, well, this is an obvious like chorus part, and then built it from there. But this one, no, it was all demoed.
Yeah, because you already did that, so you wanted to try another thing.
Yeah, I think we just had the time, and we knew what we were capable of. We decided to go in a less kind of jammy way and more like just a structured song kind of thing. So a lot of stuff was just demoed between me and my brother, and then it was kind of during the pandemic. So when we finally got together, we started just rehearsing the songs that we had demoed to make them into actual pieces. I mean, there was probably one on there that was kind of more like the first record, but as a project, it was all demoed, just songs.
Did you use the same studio?
Yeah, my house. Yeah. The Deer Lodge.
I love that idea of musicians recording themselves. I mean, that used to never be the case.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I'm reading that Lou Reed book, and he's talking a lot about how the engineers used to hate the Velvet Underground.
Yeah, did you hear about Television? You know, the Marquee Moon record?
Yeah.
The engineer quits in the mix, and Tom Verlaine's got to mix it himself.
Shit, that's
that clown. That clown could have been on a record that's immortal, right? It's going to be forever. And he walks out. And he walks out.
That's insane.
That's the attitude. Well, I don't know. Yeah. You know, Minuteman gigs. I can't tell you how many times Soundman walked away from the board after the first tune. Motherfuckers. That happened to me at RFK Stadium, you know, where the stage was like bigger than most of the clubs I play, right? As a football stadium. And I called him out on the microphone.
Yeah.
How much you getting paid, motherfucker, to walk Holy away shit. Like that? So, yeah. So
I
now, mean,
if that's what's going on, you must be doing something right, I guess. I mean, shit, man.
That's a good point. Look, I want to play this tune when you were young.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Don't blow your dreams down. Don't.
Watch for Pedro show. That chunk of music. Start off with Supplemental Pills, Doing When You Were Young. Then we had Klang Quartet, Scotty Irvin, North Carolina. Brand new, non-traditional guitar for Jesus. Credo and XDL, Ghost of the Machine. Adrian was on the show, Andrea, the other, maybe a couple weeks ago. Darkwood Thorns, brand new from him. Melvin Gibbs, incredible bass man. I think he's in Europe right now with Ardo Lindsay, DNA cat. Light Absorption, Stony Spring, brand new Shards. Bombus Prendon with Modal Collapse. Untitled, this is Motoko Honda. She's on tour, Japan, and she had a bass player. This is a name, people. My showbiz name. What about 517 Suzuki? Reiko Nonoyama on the drums. And Barry Stock, brand new, Relentless. Zach Rosen with Heaven Forbid, Guided by Voices. Bob Pollard's got another album. Don't blow your dream job. You know, make it albums, right? Every other month. Dayton, Ohio. There must be something in the water. Vacant Possession and Fence Post, brand new. Engrenage. That's a trippy word. Race Shit after that. Field Strip. Finally, Babylon. Supplemental Pills. Tell me about when you were young.
The song?
Look, I have people on the show, and some people say, what? I don't want to talk about me, my music. Why do you think I wrote the song? Are you like that, Ezra?
Yeah, I mean, I the song itself is an interesting one. It's that was built out of a demo, so that started off with a demo. We just added a bunch of trippy stuff to it.
What about the words?
When you were young, trying to think of the words now, because
I'm wondering in the process, because you were trying different stuff with this album.
Yeah, I think with that one, I just, which my approach to lyrics is just kind of to sit in front of the console and just start just jiving. And
Let me ask you this. Is it like on demand, or do you have like a trove? Do you have a little book stored up of lyrics and just waiting for the opportunity, or is it like, whoa, I need some words, I better come up with some?
Lately, I've been like, I'll write stuff down on my phone, just like lyrical ideas that'll kind of get me started. But I don't sit down and write like poetry necessarily to finish songs. It's more like, what does this song need, and what would be the best effective use of like consonants, vowels, and the repeating structure and nature of rhythmic, singing kind of thing.
Can I ask you when the titles come?
Usually I just call them whatever kind of would be the most obvious thing. Like When You Were Young, obviously that was kind of a repeated line in that song. And most of the songs that are titled, I think, are just whatever you would just kind of naturally assume.
I wasn't clear. I meant, when does it come? Like, this is why I asked this question, because I have to start with the title. And almost everybody I have to ask that question to, they tell me, what, man, we put the titles on at the end.
That's what I do, yeah, because I just, like I said, I'll just sit in front, like, we'll be jamming on something, and then the next day I'll go back to the recordings and just start, making stuff up, and the thing that kind of is the most obvious, that's what it's called, but I never go into it thinking I need a song called this and then do that.
Where I kind of need the title, because that gives me the focus so I can bring everything to aid and abet to that, whatever thought or kind of thing I'm trying to sell right in that tune.
Yeah, I try to do it naturally. Just I don't really care.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got their own thing, and that's why I think it's really interesting when you get people, who compose and perform and stuff. You can like compare, right? Because I don't think there's really a better way. There's just a different way.
Yeah, it's whatever works for whoever's doing it. Yeah, I can do it fairly easily. I mean, I feel at this point.
Like I've had cats on the show. They got notebooks and notebooks of words. They're just waiting for the music. Then I got other cats.
Yeah.
Like they don't write anything until like the music's there and it's wanting.
Well, I put it in a notebook after I'm done, so I remember it.
Good point. I mean, have you got to the stage where you're reading off an iPad on stage?
Oh, hell yeah. Well,
a lot of cats are, right, nowadays?
Yeah, well, I've seen it. You think it's a monitor, but really it's a computer right in front of the guy singing.
Senior moments, right?
Hey, I forget shit all the time, man.
Yeah, no shit. I forget shit before I thought of it, even.
Yeah.
But when you say you demo it, that means you do get the words, or are you just demoing the music?
I feel like the whole thing's a big demo process until it's kind of done.
That's interesting. You know, I had Joey Wanaker, great drummer man, on the show. And he told me he played with Pete Townsend. He says, when you record with Pete Townsend, you're actually playing on the demo. You just replace the stuff.
Well, actually, that's funny, because last night we got together for a rehearsal, and one of the drummer said to the drummer, Mark Folkrod, said to our bass player, Andy Foster, he said, we were working on a demo, and he said, watch out what you do here, man, because, you know, the next thing you know, it's going to be on the record. That's just kind of how it is around here, you know.
So Andy Foster's a new bass man.
Yeah, he was Aaron Christensen's roommate. We're all tight friends and stuff, and I've produced albums that Andy's done. He's got a rock band. Mostly he plays guitar, but he's a hell of a bass player. I knew that he could play it, but I didn't know.
You know, I'll tell you, a guitar player. Well, you know, in the old days, there was a lot of guitar players who went to bass because that's where the gigs were. Joe Osborne, but Geezer Butler.
Oh yeah, okay.
He was a guitar man, and the thing he said helped him was Jack Bruce.
Huh? Why?
I don't know. Well, you know, I heard the same thing about Ginger Baker. I think Cream was a really influential, not nowadays, okay, but I think in the middle 60s, because England, like, really into the blues, right? But then these guys got kind of bring some jazz stuff into it. And so I think they were really influential. Anyway, as Bill Ward said, he was way into Ginger, and Geezer said he was way into Jack. I didn't see, read anything about Tony Iommi being into Eric Clapton, though.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting band. I'm not like totally into Cream, but I think it's interesting what bands used to do with blues versus like what they do with blues now. And we're trying to get into the blues. Like
it's trippy, you know, because me, right? I'm next week I turn 66, so when I think of three pieces, I think of Cream. But because I was a Minuteman, I used to always get asked about Rush.
Oh wow! Yeah, all right. I mean, that's completely different, obviously.
I know, but it's a trio, right?
Yeah,
I guess it's better than being asked about the police. Right. Totally waving it. Okay. but Andy, he was just kind of the logical choice?
Yeah, he was the only choice as far as I was concerned. And for, you know, the other guys, you know, they felt the same way. My brother is also in the band. And everybody kind of said, let's ask him if he's into it. Great. If not, then we'll just be a recording band and we'll figure it out along the way. But he was willing to jump in and play the bass, and he plays it in a similar style that Aaron used to. I mean, he's got his own way, but it really locked in right away.
And he got a warning from the drummer man. Might end up on the record.
Well, he's come to find that out, I think. You know, I mean, the way that we record is live, and we can overdub stuff, but not, I mean, obviously not the drums.
No, I love it. Bass, I love it, man.
With the bass, you can overdub stuff. You can fix stuff. I mean, we play in a small room, but it works out for some reason. It really works out.
No, but that's good. There's so much stuff where people are just jive. So when you're in Situate, man, you've got to play for keeps. I'm into it. But we're at the end of the first hour here. We'll continue, Brother Ezra. December 15, 2023 edition, Wapito Show, as a supplemental pill. Hang tough for hour two! December 15, 2023, second hour, Wapito Show.
and not the Magneto Nazis. It's gotta be old boy.
Watch for Pedro show. Second hour, we start off with an Aaron song. Floating mountains over rivers. Because Aaron liked hiking, huh?
He loved it. Yeah, he was a big outdoorsman.
So he liked seeing the river. Actual rivers, not in the mine, people. In real mountains floating. Supplemental pills. Relay Station after that with Blackout Lament, number 3. M.B. Jones, where'd you get the freedom? Bullets and Balloons out of Spokanistan, right? Properly proportioned pizza. And finally, Run On, Supplemental Pills. So, yeah, explain about Aaron and outdoors.
Oh, yeah, he was just into, he was way into outdoors, he kind of, you know, camping, or he would do a lot of stuff just by himself. You know, he would just go out and...
Well, it was his puppy, right, with his dog.
Yeah, he had just gotten that puppy. He loved dogs, but, you know, he wasn't in a situation where he could have a dog until he moved in with Andy, I guess, and, you know, they both agreed that was cool. And so he had this puppy, and he was really excited about the camping trip that we went on because he'd finally gotten all the shots for it, and it could, you know, safely be outside among the other animals. So it's so sad on so many levels. I mean, the dog was only 4 months old and so cute.
Yeah, people, we got to tell you, not only Aaron was murdered, but they killed the dog.
Yeah.
Human beings, man. What a species. What a species.
Yep. And they know who did it, and the guy is still running around.
Whoa. Is that right? Crimey.
Yeah.
He's Run On? Like, what about this tune, Run On?
Oh, that's from our first one. That's one of those songs that we built out of jams.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something to that, though. Cause, like we were talking about the Miles records. Those things are great. And I bet you, if nobody tells you, remember Wizard of Oz, Frank Morgan, you know, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. He was the cat behind the curtain. But you know what I mean? Sort of like a... sausage, right? Slurry.
Yeah, you don't want to watch the sausage being made. You don't want to watch me reporting a band, I swear to God. It gets messy.
Killing floor. Yeah, cutting floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, some stuff. But sometimes, you don't... Where do you know where the wall is unless you push against it?
Constantly, yeah.
Right. And if you're too careful, right. Like trying to ride a skateboard all careful.
I wouldn't have attempted at my age, but I mean, I used to. And, you got to watch out, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the careening is part of it there. And you know, we got this tune coming up, Rest My Soul.
Yeah.
Any insights on that?
I'm a big soul fan, you know, soul and blues, and I just thought that line, looking for a place to rest my soul, kind of echoed what I was feeling. That second album of ours, No Easy Way Out, I don't really ever want to do another record like that again. There's a lot of, I don't write autobiographical, really, but in that album, it's very autobiographical, and there's been horrible periods of my life leading up to that, and I mean, that was not even dealing with the Aaron situation, so, you know, I changed a couple of words on that song, No Easy Way Out, but, mostly, I mean, anyway, but looking for a place to rest my soul kind of speaks for itself, I'd say.
Okay, let's play it.
Car drive. All right, everybody. Thanks a lot for coming out.
I made a lot of bad choices.
We really appreciate
it. A lot of bad choices.
Fucking Sunday's tough, right? I gotta get up at 6 tomorrow. Fucking rock and roll.
My work's been texting me, but I don't have my reading glasses on, so I don't know what they want, but I believe they expect me to be there.
This is our last song. I want to thank y'all for coming out. Electric Frankenstein's up next.
Fucking Electric Frankenstein's got to go. I want to see him live. Super stoked.
Divine to light her mind. with infinite affection and infinite care. Her golden finger on her lip will silence everywhere.
Pedro Show, that chunk of music. Start off with Supplemental Pills, Rest My Soul. Then we had Zimra with Spring Loaded Orifice. That's a title. Mazinga out of Ann Arbor with All Rise, live June 4, 2023. Chris Box. Dance mix for Emily Dickinson Poem Music Project. This is called Nature, the Gentlest Mother Is. Crane. He's in Idaho, somewhere by the border. And finally, Supplemental Pills. Feel it. Gotta feel it. Of course, the music speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Do you ask other cats, hey, well, because Aaron came in with that song about the river floating over the mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you bring something? Your turn. and let's see what we could do with it.
Well, he did the he did the music on that Floating Mountains Over
the
River.
That's what I mean. What about the other cats? What about the other cats in the band?
Yeah, they bring stuff to. I would say at this point, it's mostly my younger brother Joel that brings. He does a lot of riffs, and we'll just turn his riffs into songs, and so he writes songs a lot, and then we work on that, and then eventually I'll add my lyrics to it, and that's kind of how it started with that song Floating Mountains Over Rivers. We were kind of going to be just an instrumental band, but I said to Aaron, I was like, look, I think I can come up with some cool stuff here. Do you mind if I write, around this song? And he, of course, obliged. And so that's kind of, anyway, that's where we're at. People bring songs, but mostly these days it's my brother that's writing a lot of it.
You know, you got the keyboard thing, and traditionally a lot of compositions done on the, I read the Charlie Mingus book, and he didn't write anything on the bass. He always used the piano.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
Well, you got a button for every note, right?
Right. Yeah, it's linear. It's all laid out. It's like, it's like a typewriter.
Yeah. And that's why, if you read the Miles book, the Quincy Troupe book, he thinks that because of all those buttons with the notes, it Bogarts.
Yeah. Hey, come on, man. Yeah, you're taking all the frequencies.
Yeah. So there was this kind of a, it's in the Coltrane bios I read too, there used to be this kind of shorthand kind of slang where they'd say stroll, take a stroll. That meant fucking lay off.
Oh, instead of play, like.
Yeah, don't play. We say lay out, but they said stroll, like take a fucking walk, right?
I get it. It sounds like you want him to take a solo, too, so you might want to watch out you say that
to him. Yeah. Just take a stroll. For 9 months, John Coltrane played with Thelonious Monk, and when he was done playing, he would get up and dance. And this guy, I got this interview, August Bloom did with him, John Coltrane, he's like, so did you ever see that? He said, no, man, I was too busy blowing. I never got to see any of that. So this the newest guy in the band, what's his name, this keyboard guy?
Oh, Ron John?
Ron John.
Yeah, he plays organ and some synth stuff. He's an old friend of mine, and he hit me up about, he thought that, we'd sound good with an organ player. I would agree.
And also it was helping with Aaron with his feet job.
Yeah, that too. It relieved him of some of that, and it just created a fuller sound for all of our songs, which is kind of what we were going for. We've always thought about bringing another guitar player in, but I think with the organ, it kind of fills that, those frequencies, and it just thickens things up where we don't need an extra guy strumming the guitar.
Oh, yeah, no real legato anyway, as long as you hold the key, right?
And our music is very droney, so it really just lends itself to that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was wondering, when you got in Ron John, did he bring in compositions?
No, he does. He has a band called Yankee Gaucho that he writes for.
Oh, shit! I've had them on the show.
Yeah, Ron John's been on. Yeah,
That's Ron. Great. That's the same Ron John. You know what? He came to the. I just played in Portland a couple months ago, and he was there, and we rapped after the gig.
Oh, that's great to hear. Yeah, man.
I thought he played acoustic guitar and sang.
He does. Okay. He does. He does all that. Yeah, but he plays organ too, and he's a hell of a player.
No. I think that's a good thing. Like, if you're gonna go help some other cat, do another thing. Don't do the thing you're doing in your main band.
That's right. Yeah. So it's night and day different.
Okay. So you're connected with that. That's the Ron John. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He writes some great shit, man. I love him.
Oh, he's super awesome.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Okay. Yeah. Yankee Gaucho. God, the small world. I had no idea. Yeah, we rapped after the gig. He checked it out. I was helping this cat, Mike Baghetta, with his MSSV project. And a really nice cat. He said he was going to come down here and try some music in Southern California.
Oh, yeah. All right.
He's balls out. Okay, so he's got enough tunes going with Yankee Gaucho and stuff. Yeah, okay. Because I was just wondering with the keyboard and stuff, maybe I bring in some composition. But he's there to, aid and abet.
Yeah, he's filling in. Yeah, he's filling in the sound.
Yeah.
If he had a song to bring, I'd certainly listen to it.
And have you done gigs with him?
Oh, yeah, he plays all the
Okay. And obviously you've done gigs with Andy now?
Oh, yeah, he's played a handful of gigs for sure. Yeah.
I bet you the first one was tough. Fuck.
Yeah, they are, you know, they all are, really, you know, for a number of reasons. But it's not, I mean, Andy's killing it on bass. He's great.
Yeah.
But it's
much respect.
It's tough, man, when you lose a brother like that.
Yeah.
You
know? Absolutely. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. It's 7:15, 2023 edition. What, Peter, so special. Guess as your supplemental pills, hold tight for hour 3. December 15, 2023, third hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
Rinse on in his nose. All the blood does is standing close. Who's left hand?
thought his name was Ron and his last name was John, and I was like, no, dude, that's his name.
All right, people, we started the third off hour off with Supplemental Pills doing No Easy Way Out. Right, the name of the record. They call it eponymous, right? The name of the scene. Sometimes a band, their first album, it's the name of the band, eponymous. And then we had Punk Wad from Urinal Cakes of America. That's a band name. Hey. Supplemental Pills after that with Star Journey. Star Journey, yeah. That kid describes, that's a space trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did that baby come from a jam?
No. No,
was that demoed out?
Okay. Yeah, we demoed that. Yeah, we had our friend Sarah sing on that with me.
Yeah. And she got her own band?
Yeah, she's great. She's a really good songwriter. Real good. Yeah.
A lot of people doing music in Portland.
All my friends do.
I remember when Minutemen first played up there, there was only one pad to play. It was called Satyricon.
Yeah.
The cat who ran it looked exactly like Carlos Santana. but he was a great guy. I can't remember his name right now. But D. Boone went through the deck, kept playing. But, wow. Man, was such a small thing. You know what was at that gig which really blew our mind was Greg Sage, the Wipers guy.
The Wipers. He's one of the, the Wipers.
I think he lives in Arizona these days, but he was there.
Yeah, he's been down there for a while. He's pretty upset with Portland for not recognizing his.
Because I'm telling you, in those days, there was nada. It's just trippy how it changed really, really 180 degrees.
Yeah.
We're talking early 80s, 40 years ago. That's what I'm speaking of.
Oh, the Wipers hold up. All their stuff is great.
Those first three albums, I love.
Yep.
Yeah, I love them. I love them. And I guess he was recording himself and stuff, build his own preamps. And amazing.
Yeah, he's
cat.
A geeky, like, gearhead guy, man. He, right. He's still recording down there.
At that club, when we get done playing, he was leaning up against the wall. He had kind of wispy hair, I think maybe going through chemo or something. And, man, me and D. Boone and Georgie got to talk with him, and it was a big, big deal for us to get to play for him.
Oh, I bet it was.
Yeah, we had no idea he was going to be there, And then we stayed at this cat named Mike King. He was the cat who painted the album cover. And that's where it came to us. Oh, windshield wipers.
Right.
We never put it together. You know how some things are so obvious it has to hit you in the face.
And in Portland or the Pacific Northwest in general, it just rains a lot. So
Of course. I know, but we. Obviously, math wasn't our strong suit. We couldn't put it together. But when I saw the actual painting at the cover we came from, he had it in his pad.
Okay.
Yeah. He had a band. He was in a band called Snake Pit. And, also one called Hell Cows. I mean, we're talking a while ago. But, you know how it is when, like, somebody only from their work, from either the art or the music or something. And then you meet them in real life or you're conking at their pad. That's a trip.
That's a trip. It's a full circle kind of thing, huh?
Yeah. Because, we use art to connect. But in a lot of ways, until we actually connect, it's kind of abstract.
Yeah.
It's just a trippy kind of thing. Remember this stuff was all underground, right? You only knew about with fanzines and talking to people on the phone. It was a little trippier in those days. I'm not going to say was better, but it was different. Now, you can actually write a guy an email, right? You can hear what he sounds like.
And if you're on social media, you got it in your face all day, you just...
Yeah, maybe that ain't a good thing.
I don't think it is. I think it's too much. So much promotion. Everybody's always telling you about this or that.
Because then, nothing gets done. Everybody's just talking about it.
Yeah, it's a lot of theory, man.
Right. Sometimes when you're isolated, right, you got to start woodshed and get stuff done. If you're always too social, you're just spieling all the time.
Or you're always woodshedding like me, I guess.
Look, I want to play truth. That's what we're speaking here, right? Some truth.
That's right. Always. Always.
I want to. Don't need a Bible.
Rock for Pedro show, last music for this edition. Chunk started with Truth, Supplemental Pills. Then we had the Great Cicada Quintet, Kara Cicada, with the five-piece. I think a bunch of German guys. This part, one of two parts, play the second part next episode, called Tornado. And he's an incredible cat. I got to play with him and Jim O'Rourke once in an improvised thing. And he actually met John Coltrane. He was at the Hiroshima gig. He said the guy jammed 3 hours, right? And he goes backstage to get his record signed. John Coltrane's back there with a towel up around his head, and he's packing. Talk about your woodshed after a three-hour gig. And then finally, Supplemental Pills. Goodbye, Reno. The town?
No, that was a nickname for a friend of ours that died about 5 or 6 years ago. He fell off a cliff while mushroom hunting.
Ooh, yeah. Damn. You know, I happened to win a Nick Cave's sons, but I think he was on mushrooms.
Oh, was he? Okay, Mike. Well, this was not the kind that you have fun on.
Yeah. Anyway, it's sad, like we were talking before, when you lose a brother, man. So why not celebrate him with a tune? Have you? This is hard. Look, this took me years, but until I wrote the first opera, I couldn't even write a song about D. Boone. It took me almost 10 years. Have you written a song for Aaron yet?
Not yet. No. Yeah. We our friend Nate Wallace, who's in Hearts of Oak. Aaron was also in that band with me. He wrote a song, and we're selling it for to help the family out for like legal expenses and that kind of thing. So we've raised some money on that. He wrote a brilliant song on Aaron called Harvest and the Hunter's Moon, Between the Harvest and the Hunter's Moon.
And tell people where they can help if they, you know, is there a website or something they could go to?
Yeah, the family has a GoFundMe page. You can Google it or whatever. Just GoFundMe Aaron Christensen and find it.
Okay.
Absolutely raise money.
If you can help people, I know it's tough for everybody, but that sure would. And then can I ask you about what our future Supplemental Pill plans? Now that you got this record done, are you going to tour it?
We've done some playing around here. We're not set up totally to be like a touring band. It's a lot of people have like day jobs and stuff. We talked about doing some touring, but mostly the band is just made up of people that have the same kind of vibe, because that's obviously what the songs, you know, need. We're not like
Raymond Pettibone told me, you know, friends should be in bands.
Yeah,
that's what he said. You know, and he's a painter and shit, which is a man alone kind of job. But he's kind of right. if they're business arrangements, I think it's a whole nother level, you know?
Yeah, that's a different thing. And we're not a copycat band where you can just put people in and play like this. Like, my brother has a specific way he plays guitar, and a lot of it's very, very bluesy, but really dirty and loose. Yeah. And you can't just find a person and say, play it like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like that. And he repairs buses during the day for TriMet here in Portland, and it's not like he could just be like, all right, I'm going to take a month off.
Sure. So I can go. That's the other thing, too. The Northwest, man, is sort of like SoCal. I mean, you get the I-5 tour, but then the rest of the country is like hell ride.
That's the thing. It takes 10 hours to get to San Francisco. I mean, you know, and other than that, we have played Seattle a handful of times. So, I mean, we do get out and play, but
What about recording plans?
We're constantly recording. That's basically what we do. When we first started out, we were calling ourselves a recording club, but the guys didn't really like that. Because we're just like, that's all that we really, I mean, our strong suit is recording. And I've been an engineer and producer here in town for, you know, over 20 years. So and I have my own studio, so it's just, it lends itself to that.
Sure.
That's what we do.
So we're thinking of number three?
Oh, yeah, we're working on number three and four probably right now.
You said you never wanted to make another record like number two. So yeah, how's number three?
Subject-wise, I would say that.
Not process-wise. Demoing things?
We've kind of come along into a way of just a process, I guess, of just everything's mic'd up and we just record it. And we have songs that we play. It's not necessarily a jam, but We just record every week. We get together and we just record for 3 or 4 hours, and we try to get the best take. Sometimes we'll do a take that's pretty good that you would probably pass if you were a band that was going to a recording studio to just, you know, work on your songs. But in our case, we're not picking just a flawless one. It's actually the one that feels right. So we do that. And we have a visual guy in the band now too that does, he records all of our rehearsals. So he's basically making a whole movie on the recording process that we do.
That's a trip.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's John Paletta. He's a great video guy around here, and he does all the background, like psychedelic imagery when we play live, and when we're not playing live, he's recording us jamming out in the studio. So he's caught several songs of just like from the very infancy of us.
You gonna put them up on YouTube or something?
Yeah, when we're done, I think. Okay. You know, for the past year, he's been working on that. When we have enough material to make something interesting with, I'm sure.
Well, there's it. Can I put the invite out when number three gets done? Will you come back on the show? We can play it and
always,
talk about
man.
It. Oh man,
always.
Great,
always. Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. So, man, it's rough and stuff. The hand you get dealt with in life, but. Yeah, we keep on keeping on. And I can't wait to have you back on the show, truly.
Thanks, man. I really love it, man.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Right back. People, it's been the December 15, 2023 edition of WAP Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.